good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice, Daily In-Depth News, conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. To all of our listeners, and of course, Matt Neely making the magic happen on the other side of the glass, these Thursday drive time editions of the show are always when we say a happy Friday Eve. Tomorrow is Friday, but today is Friday Eve. Good morning, Matt, to all of our listeners. Happy to be with you, as always.
One step closer to Friday, Zach, and appropriately, it's also National Hydration Day, which is quite appropriate where we live in the desert.
Right.
In the summer.
Isn't it illegal for anyone to deny anyone water? I mean, I think restaurants have that rule by the state of Arizona, but I think it's people too.
Yeah, so. I believe I've heard that.
Yeah. So if someone knocks on your door and asks for water, don't break the law. Give them water. It's hydration season in Arizona.
That's right.
You know, it's always interesting, Matt, because I grew up on the East Coast. Lots of humidity and it gets hot, but it's a different heat. If you don't understand the dry heat out here, you don't understand that you have to constantly keep hydrating, something that I'm not very good at, but you have to constantly keep hydrating because this dry heat just sucks it out of you. So good PSA.
Absolutely. Drink your water, folks.
Drink your water, folks. If nothing else, to celebrate National Hydration Day. Full show today. Let's see. Let me start with how we're going to end, because I've been really looking forward to this conversation. Matt, I never got to enjoy this place, but did you ever go to the old Tuli's in the Los Barrio? Did you ever make it over there back in the day when it was open?
No, I hadn't, and I was fascinated when you mentioned that yesterday in the teaser that it's reopening, so I'm definitely looking forward to hearing about it.
Yeah, so I'm in the same place. I never got over there when it was open, but Patricia Schwabe of Peach Property fame, of Penka fame, Ron Schwabe, I mean, many people will recognize these names, cut her teeth in the restaurant business with her own Tuli's Cafe. I guess the story was that her and her then boyfriend Ron, and now their husband and wife, and have been that way for a long time. I guess Ron was running this, and he said, "I'm going to go do other things. I'm going to close this." And Patricia said, "No, we got to keep it open. I'll run it." And she did, I think, for something like 19 years, and then life happened, and she had to let it go. But now it is resurrected for another go, and many Tucson OGs, Tucson locals, will remember Tuli's, and it is back with the same 1980s menu, Matt. So this will be a fun story at the end of the hour.
All right, looking forward to that.
For sure. In the Los Barrio. Let's see. Before all is said and done, we're going to talk pretty soon with the American Edge project. So that'll be good. That's in just a couple of minutes. And then a big day in the Arizona State Legislature, Matt. I texted somebody in the know and I said, "We have a budget in the state of Arizona."
All right.
And they texted back and said, "Dude, that's a 4-hour-old story. Where have you been?" Of course, cracking the joke. But that didn't happen until, 4 a.m. this morning. So the dawn-to-dawn budget process wrapped up about 4 this morning. The state of Arizona has a budget. But here's the unique thing, Matt. At least it's unique to me. I thought this was interesting. I didn't realize this. This budget, and I'll tell you some of my thoughts about it in a little bit. This budget is actually the first bipartisan budget since Janet Napolitano days in 2008. We haven't passed in the Arizona State Legislature a truly bipartisan budget in 14 years.
Well, I hope the quality of the legislators' work at 4 a.m. is better than the quality of work at my work in 4 a.m. So let's just say that.
Oh, man. And I think the answer to that, Matt, is depends on where you sit and where you stand.
Right, sure.
But I just, on the face of it, right, amazing to me and we'll talk about this too, but the Republican-controlled legislature, and by controlled we mean one seat in both chambers, was forced to negotiate with the Democratic barely minority this year. And then the last time was when the Republican-controlled legislature in 2008 was forced to negotiate with Democratic Governor Janet Napolitano. So we'll talk about that. Big news, because obviously it's a big budget. It's a budget that has been long in the waiting. Governor Ducey has expressed favor for it. It's expected to be signed by the governor when it gets to his desk. But there's a few dynamics in there that are interesting. So we'll talk about that as well. And Matt, before all is said and done, we'll get to check in with the smartest people in Arizona. Do you know who the smartest people in Arizona are?
So by your setup, I'm thinking that's not us. I thought that was us.
No, it is.
Okay.
It is. We're gonna check in with the Arizona voters and see what they wanted this budget to look like.
All right.
And we'll see if the budget shaped up to that. But the Arizona voters, I have found, are smart, they're in tune, and they know what they want. The question is, do the people they elect follow along? Teaser. Not usually. But we'll check in with the smartest people in Arizona, too. So that's our show today. Looking forward to it. It's a full show. 520-790-2040 is the live line number you can call. And it's the number that any minute now the Arizona Edge Project will use to call in. They're about in the green room. When we come back after our short first break, we'll talk about maintaining America's competitiveness through the lens of the men and women who work over at the American Edge Project. That's on the other side here on Tipping Point. 10:30 The Voice. We'll be right back.
Trusted local news and talk. 10:30 The Voice.
Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
School's out and summer's here, and now's the best time to come out in the evenings and catch Tucson's professional soccer team, FC Tucson, in action. We're back home June 11th for Forever Pride. Fireworks and a salute to the troops on July 3rd. Celebrating Tucson's birthday on August 20th. And don't miss our defending WPSL Desert Conference champions in action. The FC Tucson women have home games June 3rd, June 19th, June 24th, and July 1st. Tickets start at just $10. Get yours now at fctucson.com.
Hi, this is Ethan Orr from the University of Arizona, where we apply science for sustainability and economic opportunity. At the Arizona Cooperative Extension, we focus on youth leadership, water conservation, and environmental health. If you'd like to find out more about urban agriculture, youth development, or creating a healthier environment, call me, Ethan Orr, at 520-621-0906, or visit us at extension.arizona.edu.
Zach Yenser here, host of Tipping Point, and I want to tell you that Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee we drink at home and while we're out and about. Run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community, you'll find a variety of great coffee drinks, beans, pastries, and more. There's also a rumor ice cream is on its way in 2022. To see their full menu and varieties of roasted beans from around the world, visit DecibelCoffeeWorks.com and visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento. Mention you heard about them on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for 10% off your next order on anything you buy. Zach Yenser here, and I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger as they're growing in Tucson. Located just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Little Love Burger is open Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 9, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 10. You can follow their beat on Instagram and Facebook at Little Love Burger Tucson. Don't you want some burger to love?
Tucson homeowners, do you have equity in your home and would like to sell but are afraid that you won't be able to find a new place in this market? Well, you're not alone. That's why CNC Partners has put together an innovative way to make your next home dream come true. They work with local investors who can purchase your home for cash, pay above market value, waive the appraisal, and provide you with the option to lease your home back to you for 12 months until you can find a new home in the Tucson market. If you'd like to see what that cash offer might look like with no obligation, go to TucsonCashOffer.com.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the 70-plus startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that houses the university's commercialization hub with several other projects coming out of the ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona live here out of the Common Workspace Studios. It's our Thursday, Friday Eve edition of this Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point. Lots to cover on the show, but our next conversation to the bottom of the hour is with Doug Kelly, the CEO of the American Edge Project. Doug, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us on the air. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me today.
For sure. So tell me a little bit about, real quick, your work just in American politics. You've been involved in presidential, gubernatorial, other statewide campaigns, as well as a lot of other diverse work. What did you see in that part of your life that got you involved with American Edge? And then we'll get into that.
Yeah, I spent most of my life in advocacy, whether it's political advocacy or helping nonprofits grow, or even running my own business for a while. And for me, my home state is Michigan, and small manufacturing community. And I saw that some of the decisions that Congress made in terms of laws they passed really hurt our manufacturing base. And so, kind of fast forward, 30 years from where I grew up. When I saw what was potentially happening to American technology and its importance and some of the things Congress was considering, I said, hey, I got to get involved and help here because we can't make the same mistake again.
So tell me now a little bit more about the American Edge Project. I have the website up. Folks can go to AmericanEdgeProject.org. But there's a lot on this website. If you had to distill it down to two or three sentences, well, what is the goal right now of the American Edge Project?
Yeah, sure. So the American Edge Project, we're a coalition of 24 different groups from across the country, representing different small businesses, minority businesses, technology companies as well. And what we try and do is tell the positive story about technology in America. Right? It's not just another sector of the economy, right? It's critical. It's a critical backbone for our national security, our economy, and as well as the expression of our values. So our kind of central thing is, given that technology is so important to every aspect of our lives, that we want to do things that encourage more innovation and discourage things that are going to hurt America's ability to innovate.
Got it. And what is the connection that y'all see to technology? I mean, technology is a big umbrella. When you're looking to encourage Congress to continue to giving our country and communities a competitive edge as far as technology goes, what are you specifically speaking about?
Sure. So, for 50 years, our antitrust law, that kind of governs companies and anti-competitive behavior and other things like that. Kind of the deciding principle underneath that was, okay, how does this impact the consumer, right? It's called the consumer welfare standard. And it's worked pretty well, right? Because at the end of the day, you measure things by, hey, are consumers seeing higher prices? Are consumers being hurt overall? And that standard has worked really well for virtually every type of industry. But some in Congress right now want to change that standard to move it away from protecting consumers to protecting specific competitors. And the problem with when you start kind of, the government starts picking winners and losers is that, one, it doesn't always do that correctly. And secondly, what happens is that ends up adding more cost to consumers. And, you know, I would argue that at the time that we're facing the highest inflation in 40 years, near record high gas prices, the wrong thing to do is to raise costs on consumers. Instead, keep that current consumer welfare standard as it is, and that will work for most of the situations we're in this country.
Doug, can you, is there an example that you're able to share of something that the project is working on that can kind of give an example to what you're speaking about?
Yeah, sure. So let's bring it right home to Arizona, right? So Arizona has an amazing tech sector. Like, you guys are one of the best in the country, right? There's almost 200,000 people are employed in the tech sector there. It has an impact of almost $30 billion on the economy. And you guys are launching startups left and right, almost 700 startups over the last 5 years that have gotten $4 billion in funding. So that creates jobs, it creates dynamism in the state, and it makes it a magnet for other types of even non-technological investments, because people see, like, hey, Arizona's got it going on. But some of the bills in Congress would restrict companies, some of the biggest tech companies, from engaging in mergers and acquisitions, right? Some of these startups that are happening in Arizona, most of their goal, 60% of startups, they want to be acquired by a larger technology company. And that's how they raise money from investors. That's how they make a return. And some of these serial entrepreneurs will go back and then create another business. So things that, so laws that get in the way of raising capital, of creating capital, raising money for startups, even dictating which lines of businesses certain companies can be in, that's fundamentally against our free market principles. And so we don't want Congress to do any harm to tech innovation. We want to make sure that we're getting this right, because we're in a really, really tight competition with China as we race for the technologies of the future.
Doug, how does the phrase big tech fit into this? I think whatever companies fit into that umbrella, I think the whoever they are, and I think everyone's definition would be different, but whoever says this is a big tech company, I think big tech is under attack by the progressive left as well as the populist right now. It's a really interesting moment in American politics as far as that is going. And I don't want to get into politics here, but since you brought home to Arizona, there's a Senate candidate funded by a big tech venture capitalist who is running on reining in big tech. Is anything that you're working on related to those questions at the American Edge Project?
Yeah, so generally when people think of big tech, right, they think of the big five, right? Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, and Google. And look, our American tech companies don't always get it right, right? There's certain things that, yeah, they got to fix and that. But at the end of the day, those companies are kind of franchise player. You know, to use a sport analogy, they're our franchise player when it comes to leading the globe in innovation, but also in investing in critical technologies of the future, like artificial intelligence, like quantum computing, as well as new wireless technologies, as well as cybersecurity. And all of those things really, really play a critical role in our national security. In fact, China has really big plans to kind of go grab those four technologies as well. And so from our point of view, it really matters which country builds the future. And sometimes in American politics, right, we can really focus on our country only and just our internal business. But in reality, we're playing in a global environment. And China's goal is to be the number one technology leader in the world by 2035.
It would seem, Doug, they're well on their way.
Yeah, I mean, look, they not only steal about $500 billion of technology a year from us, right? But they also are investing trillions of dollars in these technologies. And so, yeah, big tech, like I said, doesn't always get it right. But the worst thing that we can do is hamstring our best innovators and hand that edge over to China. Like that, we did that with manufacturing, right? I started off the show talking a little bit about my experience in Michigan. Our manufacturing muscle was the envy of the world. Yes. And a handful of bills passed, and next thing you know, 5 million manufacturing jobs lost, many of them going over to China. And we can't do the same thing with technology. So that's what the American Edge stands up and fights for.
We're with Doug Kelly this morning, the CEO of the American Edge Project. Doug, I've got 2 to 3 minutes more on the two side now. What do you want to see the policy direction be of Congress to keep American technology competitive and not just at pace with China, but beating China? Because I think it is important who wins to be plain.
Yeah, so think of laws that encourage more public-private partnerships, right? So these large innovative tech companies are really creating cool new technologies that have dual uses, right? Both on the commercial side, but also they can help our national security as well. The second thing I think I would like Congress to do is to, man, the pandemic really showed the danger of having too much critical technology being built and made overseas. So pass legislation that helps kind of reshore that critical technology so we build more things like microchips and other critical technologies here in the USA so we're not dependent on any country either through a pandemic or a lockdown or an invasion, frankly. So those are two things Congress should do right away that would really help our country.
Got it. Anything real quick that's going through Congress right now that is worrisome to you?
Well, I'll
any
tell
legislation?
You, there's these anti-innovation bills that are, really focused on these tech companies. But I would encourage your audience to make their voice heard, right? I mean, they know how big a tech footprint is in Arizona. And these laws in D.C., if they're passed, they'll hurt technology and job creation in Arizona. So I would pick up the phone and call your two U.S. senators and your representative and say, hey, don't do things that hurt U.S. technology innovation. Do things that help it grow and help accelerate it. Because at the end of the day, like Arizona is a really great case study in how do you create an innovation ecosystem. And laws at the federal level that change and hurt technology and capital formation, that's really going to hurt Arizona as well.
Doug Kelly, CEO of the American Edge Project at AmericanEdgeProject.org. Thank you, sir, for starting your Thursday with us. And thanks for sharing this information, and we'll chat again soon.
Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Doug. Tucson, when we come back from our bottom of the hour news break, a few thoughts from me on an historic, at least in the last 15 years, Arizona State Legislature budget. And then Patricia Schwabe will be with us to talk about the resurrection of Thule's in the Lost Barrio. We'll be right back.
School's out and summer's here. And now's the best time to come out in the evenings and catch Tucson's professional soccer team, FC Tucson, in action. We're back home June 11th for Forever Pride. Fireworks and a salute to the troops on July 3rd. Celebrating Tucson's birthday on August 20th. And don't miss our defending WPSL Desert Conference champions in action. The FC Tucson women have home games June 3rd, June 19th, June 24th, and July 1st. Tickets start at just $10. Get yours now at fctucson.com.
Zach Yenser here, host of Tipping Point, and I want to tell you that Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee we drink at home and while we're out and about. Run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community, you'll find a variety of great coffee drinks, beans, pastries, and more. There's also a rumor ice cream is on its way in 2022. To see their full menu and varieties of roasted beans from around the world, visit DecibelCoffeeWorks.com and visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento. Mention you heard about them on Tipping Point with Zach Yenser for 10% off your next order on anything you buy.
Tucson homeowners, do you have equity in your home and would like to sell but are afraid that you won't be able to find a new place in this market? Well, you're not alone. That's why CNC Partners has put together an innovative way to make your next home dream come true. They work with local investors who can purchase your home for cash, pay above market value, waive the appraisal, and provide you with the option to lease your home back to you for 12 months until you can find a new home in the Tucson market. If you'd like to see what that cash offer might look like with no obligation, go to TucsonCashOffer.com.
When you manage your money with a credit union, you're taking true ownership of your finances and how your money impacts the community. Stop letting banking just happen to you. Bring your money home to Vantage West, federally insured by NCUA.
Helping you make better money decisions is what The Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. You're listening to Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Welcome aboard. It's good to be with you on this Thursday, Friday Eve edition. A listener texted in over the break, Matt, and said their Decibel coffee this morning is delicious, and it made me think that now is a perfect time to say that Decibel Coffee Works is the coffee that the Yensers drink at home and while we're out and about. Run by a great local team of people who care about the Tucson community, you'll find a variety of great coffee drinks, beans, pastries, and more. Ice cream is on its way. Actually, that's false. I need to update that because ice cream is here. You can see their full menu and varieties of roasted beans at Decibel, D-E-C-I-B-E-L, coffeeworks.com. More importantly, visit them at 267 South Avenida del Convento between Congress and Cushing on Avenida del Convento. It's the Mercado San Agustin Annex. Mention you heard about them here on Tipping Point for 10% off your next order on anything you buy. So always fun, Matt, to hear from listeners live in real time say, hey, that Decibel coffee is pretty good, and it is. It's what I'm drinking too this morning, right now.
Good stuff.
So go get it. It's not. It's easy to get to off the highway. Let's see. We just got off the phone with Doug Kelly with the American Edge Edge Project, and that unlocked a whole Pandora's box for me. And I won't. I won't go there because I don't have time, but an interesting conversation around how does American technology and innovation stay competitive? And I don't know if this is revelatory, but we're going to have to work on it. You know, I think there was a large chunk of the 20th century where America was the de facto leader in innovation and technology and manufacturing and so on. And I think it's becoming pretty clear that we are now going to have to really make sure the wheels are greased to keep up with the likes of China and other countries. In the case of China, I think it's pretty imperative that the U.S. continue to be not only competitive, but also the leader in these things. It's important, I think, who wins in that race. Especially when it comes to China. And I think our China policy as a country is unclear at best and insufficient, maybe at a little bit less than best. But here we go. Not what I want to talk about this segment. I wanted to check in this morning in light of Arizona passing a budget in the wee hours of the morning. Arizona legislative leaders adopted an $18 billion bipartisan budget is the headline from Howie Fisher, Capital Media Services. It gets piped all over the state. This is the first budget that has been passed in a bipartisan way since Janet Napolitano and the Republican majority legislature in 2008. But I wanted to check in with the smartest people in Arizona. The smartest people in Arizona. And the smartest people in Arizona are the Arizona voters. The Arizona voters don't get enough credit. I think Arizona voters, from the data I've looked at, from the conversations I've had, anecdotes, data, whatever it is, cut it any way you want. I think Arizona voters are pretty in tune to the issues of this state. And I am pretty confident that the voters of Arizona know what this state needs. They know what it wants. They know what the future needs to look like. The question is do the people they elect over time understand that? And I think the answer is pretty much no. But I wanted to check in with the smartest people in Arizona. And there was a survey done by the Arizona Voters Agenda out of an organization called the Center for the Future of Arizona. They checked in all over the state with likely Democratic, Republican, and independent voters in partnership with High Ground Consulting out of Phoenix. And they said to these voters, the state legislature has a $5.3 billion surplus. What do you want done with it? 70% of Republicans, 95% of Democrats, and 93% of independents and non-affiliated voters believe that the tax burden is fair and low. There was agreement at those numbers on investing the surplus, and the places they wanted invested was in critical infrastructure and education over cutting taxes. 82% of likely Arizona voters, the smartest people in Arizona, agreed that instead of cutting taxes, the state should make strategic investments. I think by and large, we saw a lot of that happen in this budget. And it was interesting because Republican legislative leaders were unable to get votes from their own members, had to go cut a deal with Democrats by offering $60 million more in funding for public education than the GOP and Republican Governor Doug Ducey had proposed. This led Rusty Bowers to say, do your own thing, great, march out there in your purity and condemn, unquote. The Arizona Constitution gives the legislature one mandatory job, adopt a budget, and that's what we're doing. So controversy around tax cut, no tax cut, invest in education, not invest in education, allocate money towards the wall or not, all of this sausage making led towards the first bipartisan budget in a number of years with more funding allocated not only to public education but also to private and charter. Lots in here. I'm running out of time. But the news item for you is that while most of us were asleep this morning around 4 a.m., the Arizona legislative leaders adopted an $18 billion bipartisan budget that I think in many ways matched the desires of the smartest people in Arizona. And our legislators, our candidates, our statewide people should be listening to the smartest people in Arizona. It was interesting, Michelle Ugenti Rita was pushing for another tax cut, a tax cut that conservative Republican Rusty Bowers and conservative Republican Karen Fan said, we can't afford another permanent tax cut. We can adapt the property tax, and we will for this year one time, but we can't do another tax cut. And that desire for another tax cut was against the instincts of 70% of Republican voters, 95% of Democratic voters, and 93% of independents and unaffiliated voters, who are, by the way, most concerned about economic growth, rising costs, housing affordability, and gas prices. Y'all, it is time that we focus on the actual work, that we focus on the very clear imperatives from Arizona voters who understand that the Sunbelt state that we live in is changing. The era of low tax, low service, low wage, that ship left a few years ago, and some people haven't noticed. Now, by the way, I am a guy that is about economic efficiency, lower regulation, keeping taxes at a place that makes sense, that is encouraging to people to come and stay, right? I'm there. I don't want anyone to hear anything different. But at some point, you have to invest and put fuel in the tank on the things that not only matter for long-term success in a changing state, but you have to do it in a way that, by the way, matches the overwhelming majority of the smartest people in Arizona, and that is the Arizona voter. The data is just so clear. So there you go, Arizona. You got a budget. Congratulations. When we come back from not bottom of the hour. We just did that. We're going to go to our final break of the hour. When we come back, Patricia Schwabe will be with us. We'll talk about the round two of Tully's Cafe in the Lost Barrio. And another go of a classic in Tucson. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the 70-plus startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges that houses the university's commercialization hub with several other projects coming out of the ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Zach Yenzo here, and I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger as they're growing in Tucson. Located just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Little Love Burger is open Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 9, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 10. You can follow their beat on Instagram and Facebook at Little Love Burger Tucson. Don't you want some burger to love?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Did you know that Arizona is the first state in the country to implement a program like Earn to Learn has right here to support students with matched college savings? Through your investment, you enable students to leverage their own savings and resources to acquire the life-changing asset of a college education. If you want to be a part of increasing students' earning potential, minimizing student debt, closing the opportunity gap, and putting deserving individuals on a path to success, go to earntolearn.org to find out more.
Hi, this is Ethan Orr from the University of Arizona, where we apply science for sustainability and economic opportunity. At the Arizona Cooperative Extension, we focus on youth leadership, water conservation, and environmental health. If you'd like to find out more about urban agriculture, youth development, or creating a healthier environment, call me, Ethan Orr, at 520-621-0906, or visit us at extension.arizona.edu.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join me at noon on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk.
And we're back, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona live out of the Common Workspace Studios. This Friday, Thursday Eve edition of Tipping Point with Zach Yenzer. We are now in studio live with the one and only Patricia Schwabe to talk about the reopening of Tully's in the Lost Barrio. Many of our longtime Tucsonans, longtime listeners will remember the first round of Tully's, a very cool Tucson story resurrected for another go. And of course, before we get into it, Patricia's with us in studio. We want to thank thank Vantage West Credit Union, who has supported our series here called Essential Customer, where we get to spotlight amazing Tucson businesses of all kinds that have not only come out of and thrived during the COVID-19 pandemic, but are future forward, have success ahead. And we want to encourage our listeners now and throughout this segment to be essential customers, right? We've heard of essential workers over the last couple of years, but you are essential customers. You help businesses like Patricia's and Thule's to succeed and do well. So with that, Patricia, thank you for making time this morning. It's so good to see you in studio.
Zach, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and share a little bit about Thule's and to participate in that awesome program that Vantage West has to support local sweet spots in
our
community.
Yes, absolutely. So obviously, want to talk about the fact that Thule's is open and what you've got going on in the future. But your personal story around Thule's Cafe is incredible. Your then boyfriend Ron,
you read that newspaper.
Of course. I think was running Thule's Cafe.
He owned the business, that office there, because she's always been real estate.
Yes.
But like we've done since then in other buildings, there was this space that he thought, oh, it should be some kind of retail or cafe. Mm-hmm. So besides running his development company business, he decided to open this turkey taco shop.
Okay.
And it was kind of innovative because the only meats was turkey, and everything was done from scratch. And it was just tacos, and it was just a window on Park Avenue in the Los Barrio. And,
yes.
And his employees were... they would help, they would do real estate, but also help. And then at some point, he got tired of trying to be in real estate and in the restaurant business. And by then, I had met him, and I had already enjoyed some of the meals there. And he had staff that decided to leave town, like people sometimes do. And they say, hey, I'm leaving town, ciao here, I'm gone. And he was going to shut it down.
And you said,
and I said,
no!
That's crazy, everybody loves the tacos. And he literally said, you can have it because I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't have time. I don't care.
Right. Were you married at this point?
No, we
dating.
We were just dating.
Yes.
And I was also doing real estate with another company in town.
Wow.
To some realty back then. And and I said, of course, I'm just going to run it. And it was really very much like that. And I found a lady that cooked really well. And
amazing.
I found another lady that baked really well. And he was a lot of learning and understanding how the business works. I never worked in a restaurant before.
Wow.
But my mom cooked well and my family. And so at least I know what good flavors are, I think.
Yeah.
And then and Thule's has always been special because it's always got that feeling of a very mom and pop restaurant where people feel like your grandma is cooking for you or somebody.
Because it's pretty small inside.
It's very tiny.
A great patio as well.
A very nice patio,
very
but
intimate.
It's still very small.
Yeah.
And we do everything from scratch.
Wow.
And at some point we expanded and we put pulled pork. So we have pork,
oh.
The other fancy white meat. And so it's turkey and then we have pulled pork, but also it's kind of, we didn't think we were being innovative or anything, but even back then, and I'm talking 25 years ago, almost 30 years, we had the guacamole taco, and we had the vegan burrito, and we had the vegan bowl, which I don't even know how we did that because it wasn't such a trend.
Right,
But maybe the customers wanted those things, and we always had those options, which now seem like so basic in every restaurant.
Right.
But people remember that. That we always cooked everything very clean. Everybody would say, well, your beans have lard. And I would be like, no, lard tastes great, but we don't have lard. We just season them well. And so people could have like a big bowl of like black beans with a bunch of veggies and salsas and avocado on the top. And, and that would be the era special. And everybody loved that.
Amazing. And you did that for 19 years.
Yes, a lot of years. And then I had a little family. I don't know how to, I don't want to call it a tragedy because that's not the right emotion, but my sister passed away that year and I was going a lot to San Diego and I just didn't have the happiness inside to run Tully's, and I already had another restaurant downtown, Penca.
Penca, yeah.
And I was like, Penca's enough right now. And it really took this long to get excited again. Mm. And I don't think it was all the mourning of that, my sister, because she really didn't have anything to do with Tully's, but she enjoyed Tully's a lot when she visited. But the suite had a lot of construction, and then the construction on Broadway, and it just never felt like the right time. And then, of course, COVID, but really was more the construction.
Mm.
And finally, when Broadway started clearing up, at least to Campbell,
right,
it just was like, okay, this is the time. We need to get ready to reopen.
Yep. And the right time for Patricia Schwabe was the heat of June,
of course,
in Tucson.
110.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So tell me about that.
Let's make it the hottest summer, the earliest hottest summer ever. You know what? I don't know. We were just ready, and we can hire some great people. We have a really sweet staff, and people want to work, and they were excited, and we had everything, permits, everything was done to make sure that operation was back in order, and I just couldn't make more excuses not to open. It was ready. Right. We started planting a garden. The garden is doing really well. We have tomatoes and cucumbers and chiles and mint. And so it was like, well, we're going to have to deal with the heat. And it's still a beautiful patio. You can go right at 8 and get a really amazing juice. We bought a big juicer so we can juice the carrot, ginger, orange juice, and the beet juice, and the green juice. And that's really nice and refreshing. And we have the baked goods, and in the morning, vegan scones and cookies, and we have all the great burritos if you want to start your morning with a hearty breakfast. The corn cakes are vegan. They've always been vegan. They're back with a vegan Cholula butter and a jalapeno syrup. And so there's a lot of great options. It does get warm in the patio by 11. We do have a nice space inside where you can eat inside. And then we just close at 3. Right now continues to be just breakfast and lunch. The good news, and these are real news because I don't think anybody else has heard yet. We did apply for a liquor license.
Okay.
And we're just waiting for the final approval.
Awesome.
And we're going to expand into the next space. And we're going to have more of a afternoon, evening service there. And we'll be able to have beer and wine. So
I love it.
People can stop there in the afternoons when it's a little cooler before October brings us cooler weather and start enjoying, like, I don't know, a meal with a glass of wine or with a cold michelada or something.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, this is for the OGs listening who went to Tully's back in the day. Your menu is the same 1980s menu.
Yes,
I mean, it's a 100% throwback.
It's 100%
it's
throwback.
It's so cool.
Because people want the same thing.
You were a visionary then?
I don't know.
It just made
sense then. And people are still going, well, it doesn't taste exactly the same. And I'm like, well, these kids are like new kids, and they probably were, I don't know, 15 or 12 when I closed, and they don't know. But they're trying their best. We have a really sweet group.
You just can't please everybody.
Well,
Patricia.
But people are being very supportive. And they go, I think that cookies need more cinnamon. And I'm like, okay, note. We're taking note.
Sure. I love that.
And and we take all of those comments as people that care, and they just want to make us better. And it's well taken. Bring us the comments. And we want to be that sweet spot in the Los Barrio where people can come and enjoy just a good, simple but good meal made with a lot of love and then also enjoy the shops. It's a great place to stop. And we're so close to the university, so close to downtown, very close even for people that I used to get a lot of people that they would stop when they would arrive from the airport because they just come down Keno and then turn left.
Right,
and it used to be, I mean, it was very popular with a lot of people that would be on the flight attendants and people. It would be like, oh, this is our first spot.
And we've been saying the Lost Barrio, but it's give me the cross street.
So it's Park Avenue and Broadway. So it's the old Park Avenue, if people remember that, because then Park Avenue became like Euclid is Park somewhere over there, like farther south. But this is the Park Avenue if you're coming from the U of A, is kind of the same Park Avenue. So on Broadway, you turn a block, a street east of Euclid.
Okay.
So if you're coming from the east side and you hit Euclid, you pass us.
Got it.
And if you're coming from downtown, you pass Euclid, and then you turn right on the next street. You turn south.
Got it.
So it's really good location. Yeah. It's really pretty.
Plenty of parking.
It's very pretty. For the old folks or the people that used to come before, I mean, it just brings sweet memories.
Yes.
But it's a great spot to discover for those in Tucson this summer. And they're just trying new things because they're here, and we want to do fun things while we're here, too.
100%.
That's a good spot. We're trying to get music every Sundays.
Okay.
So we have a little bit of music. We've had it later in the day. I think we're going to move it earlier, maybe by 10. Just have a little bit of music for brunch. And stop by.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
You can send comments on Instagram and Facebook. We read them.
Yes. No, this is great. I'm excited to come by. I didn't get to eat there when it was open the first time, so I'm getting...
Because you were like 10.
no. Maybe. I don't know. I might be a little older than you think.
Okay.
I have a baby face that has plagued me for my entire life. But I'm looking forward to discovering this. And you mentioned that, you know, the indoor space is a little bit smaller and more intimate.
These still seats, like,
reservations?
No,
people can just roll up?
Just walk in. We have tables. It's fine.
Perfect.
And we do have, I'm emphasizing the juices because those are great. And then we have fresh limeade and jamaicas, and we have the kombucha. So it's a good selection of, like, cold, refreshing drinks and, like I said, great food.
Wonderful. 299 South Park Avenue, reopened Friday, June 3rd. And I was so excited to have this conversation with you.
Tuesday through Sundays.
Tuesday through Sundays.
Mondays are day off.
Perfect.
And just let us know what you think. Send comments. Yeah. We'll love to hear.
I love it.
And thank you, Vantage West, really, for giving support to all these small businesses.
For sure. No, I ditto that. Patricia Schwabe, already successful in Tucson. Much success to this as well. Thanks for coming on and for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tucson, that does it for our drive time hour today. We'll be back Friday, same time, same place. Daniel Hernandez will be with us, a state lawmaker, also running for Congress. We'll have that conversation. Hewitt up next, Bill Buckmaster at noon, Tucson. We'll see you tomorrow, Friday. Thanks for listening.